Welcome to this week's podcast with Distress and Crisis Ontario. I am Caitlin, Program Coordinator for DCO, and today I am joined by Dr. Rick Siernik. Am I saying your name correctly?
You are, yeah.
Perfect.
It's good. That's the Anglo version of it. Siernik, if you're Hungarian, but Siernik is awesome.
Very interesting. All right. And today we are going to continue some conversations that we've had with Dr. Siernik over the last little while on addictions specifically. And today we are going to be talking about how an individual who may be struggling with addictions can recognize that addiction in themselves and hopefully seek out the help that they need. So if I was someone who maybe has an addiction, how would I be able to recognize that in myself to be aware of what I'm struggling with?
Yeah. Well, that's the most interesting thing. Because typically most people have no self-recognition until they're quite down the pathway. So I want to tell you a story, since I like telling stories, is that for people who have had children, and my sons are 27, 30 now, when you have a child, that child is small. I mean, it's a baby. It fits in your arm. You carry it around. And so you've got this little baby, and you carry it around, and the little baby goes from like 5 pounds to 25 pounds to 30 pounds to 50 pounds. And I mean, you spend every day with it. It really is your whole life as a parent, right? Your job is to protect that child, to make sure it grows, to nurture it, to allow it to become big and strong. And then one day you turn around suddenly, and this little thing that you used to carry around is now this 27-year-old strapping 210-pound person who comes home and picks you up and carries you around. That's basically the progression of an addiction. I mean, you just start off having a drink or two every now and then, smoking a little cannabis, which is now legal, of course, after work a day or two. You know, maybe doing a little recreational drugs with your friends every other weekend. And I mean, it's just, it's integrated, just part of your life. And I mean, sometimes you have a little more stress in your life, or you have a loss in your life, or perhaps something traumatic happens. And so you drink a little bit more. Instead of one or two times a week, it's 4 or 5 times a week. Instead of smoking just on the weekends, you now start smoking Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so this is basically the pattern. Is for most people, it's like growing up with your child. You don't see the emergence of when the drug becomes something you control to when the drug begins to control you. And so the term I use is COP, which is central organizing principle, is just in terms of when you spend more time thinking about using the drug, and you spend more time using the drug, and spend more time getting money to buy more of the drug, and your friends and your family and your recreational activities start becoming less and less and less. So if you're like me and you're younger, you played some pickup hockey, you played some pickup baseball, and those people are gone, and there's new people you're hanging around with you don't recognize from 2 and 3 years ago, or the friends you had in high school or college, university, aren't even talking to anymore. The biggest difficulty, though, is that there's this concept called pre-contemplation. In the old days, we used to blame people. Oh, you know you're ruining your life. You know you're not going to work as much. Your family's broken up. You're not visiting your kids. And that we said we blame people. But again, literally, as this takes over your life more and more and more, you just don't realize it. So one of the goals is to move from the state of pre-contemplation, but not realizing how powerful and important the drug has become in your life, to one of contemplation, just to even think about it. So in terms of self-recognition is, has my personality changed? Have my friends changed? Have my school or work pattern changed? Do I have different relationship with my parents and my friends and my loved ones? I mean, those are very the fundamental signs of your drug use becoming more prominent in your life.
Okay. I think that you make a valid point that to recognize it for yourself, it's very difficult. As you say, I have a 10-year-old and a 9-month-old. There's a pretty big gap there. But I look at the two of them and I see the differences, and I don't remember my daughter when she was the age of my son. And it's crazy to see, yeah, how much change just becomes a part of your everyday. And it's so gradual that you don't really pick up on it until you have a reminder.
Exactly. And that's that notion of gradual. I mean, you see movies, you see TV shows where someone uses a drug once and becomes addicted to it. I mean, that's convenience for media. It very is rare. Not that it doesn't occur, because everything occurs in the universe, but it's very rare that one single use leads someone to become addicted. It may, again, begin to change their lives. This notion of the all-encompassing, it's a gradual process, which is also a very important takeaway, because it took something months, if not years, to take over your life, to mm-hmm. then expect yourself to become better or cured in a week or a day or a month. I mean, people are way too hard on themselves. It's a process becoming addicted, and it's a process recovering from addiction.
That leads very nicely into my next question of where someone would be able to go for help once they realize that their addiction is something that they would like to fix.
Yeah. So there is a very extensive addiction treatment network in the province of Ontario, if you know about it. And that's the big if. I mean, again, the question is, for my job, I have to fly in an airplane. And I have no idea how an airplane works. I know it's there. I know it works. I know when COVID ends, I'll be able to fly on airplanes again. But I have no idea how it actually functions. And it's the same sort of thing with the addiction treatment system. We have done a good job providing peer resources, professional resources, online resources available. But if you don't know about it, how do you access it? Mm-hmm. So in Ontario, there is a helpline that's run through the Center of Addiction and Mental Health. So it's a central number. But every geographic community will have an agency designated as an assessment center. And that's one of two key entry points. And what assessment center does is just that. They specialize in understanding addictions. They'll come and have a conversation with you, and they'll determine how substantive an issue is it with you, and recommend a variety of different types of counseling, from very inobtrusive to very intensive. Mm-hmm. The other major entry point for someone that has a more substantive problem that's impacting their health is most communities, again, have a withdrawal management center. They're more commonly called detox centers. Both of these are readily accessible. I mean, if you've got a computer, you put detox in withdrawal management center, it comes up. Assessment center are accessible in, again, most community information agencies. So if you're in a large metropolitan area, Hamilton, London, Windsor, Sault Ste. Marie, they'll all have them. Thunder Bay, they'll all have them. If you're more rural, there'll be a center that's assigned to your area that will provide this initial assessment to determine what's going on. That's the professional route. And certainly, obviously, as a professional counselor, that's what I recommend. There's also then the self-help route. Mm-hmm. If you don't really want to talk to someone like me, and again, I have children, so they don't want to talk to me either, there certainly are other routes, self-help. The most common one that people know is Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. There's other ones, Narcotics Anonymous. There's other very good ones that are less well-known, things called Women's for Sobriety, Men's for Sobriety, Smart Recovery. And these are all run by peers. So people who themselves have had an addiction issue, have struggled with it, who know what it's like to have all the problems, to be unsure and to recover. And so again, in almost every community, regardless of size, you'll find an AA or an NA group. The other thing that's occurred, and this is one of the few good things about COVID, is now literally there is all sorts of online groups. So if you're really not sure, do I drink too much? Do I use too many drugs? You can already pop in, be anonymous, see what people are talking about. And I go, no, that's not me. Or, oh, yep. Did that. Didn't do that. Oh, but did that and did that. And give you a sense of this is a place to go. But I think, Caitlin, the important takeaway is there's no right or wrong thing. Detox centers, great entry point. Assessment centers, great entry point. Mutual aid self-help groups, great entry point. Is just, again, to have that conversation to see if your baby is 5 pounds and you're still carrying it, or if it's 210 pounds and it's carrying you.
Yes. So is there one surefire thing, not surefire, but is there one thing that you would suggest that no matter what, a person who's struggling with addiction who wants to get out of it should do, whether that's they should always try to find somebody to hold them accountable, they should always try to find a safe place to go? Like, is there one thing that absolutely everybody should do, or is it always going to look different for everyone?
Yeah, the first thing you should do is not blame yourself. I mean, lots of society said this is your fault, and certainly it's not. Addiction is a very complex phenomenon. There's a biological component, a psychological component, and a huge social component. So the first thing is not to beat yourself up. The second thing is that it's a process. The cool thing about being a counselor in the 21st century is that we don't believe in failure anymore. We believe the fact that you recognize that you could be doing better or something needs to change is the first step. So the first step is saying, hey, could I be better? And now as a 6-year-old who's just joined a senior's yoga class, I know I can be more flexible. So, I mean, I don't want to trivialize the importance of what addiction does to you, but I didn't realize, you know what, when I was young, I was an athlete, but now as I'm 60, things are stiff and things don't move. Things have just changed. So yes. I've gone to somebody that knows more than I do. And so that's the second part is that, I mean, your friends are great, your family are wonderful, but we have trained professionals. We have people that do this for a living. We have people who've got 20, 25 years of not drinking alcohol, of not using opioids. So it's to talk to somebody that knows more than you. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'm going to recommend is that anyone tells you they have the cure or the way to recover is don't talk to them, because you're absolutely right. There is no one single way. Everything is an assessment. Everyone's an individual. Everyone has their own story, your own background. So good counseling will find out what you need and support you in your own individualized journey. But yeah, don't beat yourself up. Talk to someone that knows more about you, and don't get frustrated if you don't get better right away, because it's a slow change process.
Just like you said, it takes you a long time to get to a point where you are addicted, and it's going to take you probably even longer to get out of it because you've been so conditioned to this state.
That's a great word. Absolutely. You just got used to it. And again, with certain drugs, we come to expect it. Again, I joked about my background is Hungarian, is that my culture, if you don't drink, there's something wrong with you, right? So yeah, sometimes we're often battling cultural stereotypes and cultural expectations.
Mm-hmm. Once again, you're leading me very nicely into my next and last question for this portion of the podcast. What is something that, there is still a lot of stigma in the community when it comes to addiction. There's a lot of judgment that people face and a lot of judgment that people give when it comes to the area of addiction. Is there any advice that you can give for overcoming that stigma and that fear of being judged that a lot of people face?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a hopeful answer or not, but sort of how I lead my life is that there's one thing that differentiates humans from all other life on the planet. It's not opposable thumbs. It's not tool making. I mean, birds can make tools, but big apes can pose their thumbs. But what differentiates us from all other life on the planet is that we know we're going to die. Mm. And so knowing that is that, so what kind of quality of life do I want to have? And yeah, if I ask you what you had for lunch 3 weeks ago, you probably have no idea. But if I asked you one embarrassing thing that happened to you in high school, I bet you can remember right away, right? And this is the whole thing, is that we hang on to those things that have embarrassed and shamed us. Mm. But has it been someone else that's embarrassed or shamed us, or hasn't been ourselves? So if I know I've only got so much time to do things that are meaningful, to reform relationships, to go back and commit to my community to do some good volunteer work. If I know I've got this time, do I worry what someone else thinks about me? Do I care what that person in grade 11 laughed at me because I fell down the steps or asked somebody out and they rejected me? Do I still carry that shame and stigma? Or do I go forward and move forward? So yeah, you're right, is that people always judge you. Go on the internet, say something. Mm. There's always someone that's going to disagree with you. And I guess the biggest challenge, and this is not an easy one, the biggest challenge is to value ourselves and not worry about people who want to put us down for trying to become better. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, fear is a big thing. We are innately fearful creatures. We are. It keeps us alive. The notion is, can you overcome it? What did you do to overcome that shame or that incident in high school? Yeah, did I get turned down when I asked people on dates? Absolutely. Did I ask somebody else out again? Absolutely. Did it cause me a lot of anxiety? Absolutely. So my comment is, there is going to be people look down on you. There are people going to be judge you. Do you care about those, or do you care about the people who say, hey, you could be more than you are? Hey, I still love you no matter what you've done. Why don't we work together to be better? So don't get those people putting you down. Find those people in your life. And sometimes there'll be someone in an AA group. Sometimes there'll be a professional that says, wow, there's so much more to you. So find those people that value you for who you are, as opposed to people who are putting you down to try to make those better. Hmm.
So before we wrap up, the only other thing that I would like to ask is if there's anything else that you would like to say to someone who is struggling with addiction right now.
Yeah, it's about 15% of the population. So if you think you're special, you're not. Come join the rest of us. There's a whole bunch of us who are working in the addiction field that are doing mutual aid group. There's 100 million people on the planet or so, the same problem you got. So you're not special. So come join the silent majority here and come and make your life better.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk about this with you. Okay, so that's number one done. thank you. That was very, very interesting for me as well. And we kept it
they're
well
good
within.
Questions, though. Yeah, they're good. I liked it. And I never know. I honestly never know what I'm going to talk about. And this whole notion, as I get older, the notion of talking about death and dying, especially in the era of COVID, is something else we're worried about too. And so, if you spend your whole life living in fear, you're going to end up being 75 and never having done anything. So, that's sort of a little personal thing of my own thing to sneak in there. But I mean, you said yourself, you see your 10-year-old child and your child is less, and you go, how did this child get to be 10?
It's honestly ridiculous. Like, obviously I knew that she was growing up too fast even before I had my son, but now it's like seeing the two of them side by side. It's like, how did you used to be that? And how will you one day be this? Like, yeah it's crazy.
That's, I got this Christmas gift. It's right here. It's called a digitizer, right?
Okay.
And so what I'm doing is I'm taking all my old photographs and making them digital, right? And
yeah.
So literally since Christmas time, I've been going through my life since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm up to 2007 now, right? So I've been sort of going through, and again, you take pictures for the most part of good things. But yeah, I got some of those pictures from high school and I go, I was such an idiot.
I am from kind of the first Facebook generation that all of my high school era photos already exist on the internet and I already have to relive them that way. Yeah, I've got albums and albums and albums of photos that I have like since made private so nobody else has to see that, but I still do. Yes. Well,
and again, it's not just you. There's one day, I mean, I'm out of high school a long time now, but one day there's this picture. Like I work in this field. There's this picture that someone pops up from a bunch of guys I hung out with high school that really is, I mean, without my permission, I'm going, and it wasn't sexual in nature, but certainly was not appropriate in terms of what some of us have gone. Because in that, some of those groups, I mean, one guy's a lawyer now, one guy's like a manager of a business. And it's a fairly embarrassing picture that one of the people put up, right, without any permission. And when I said, emailed them, I hadn't talked to them like 30 years. I said, you know what, get this down. I mean, I know you think it's funny, but we've gone on to do some serious things in our careers. And we really don't need this popping up when I was 15 years old and I'm thrown up on the side of the road, right? I really don't need people.